Hi, welcome to the 2018 Women's Midlife Revolution Summit. My guests and I will show you the many facets of midlife that help you to regenerate physically, heal emotionally, transform and grow spiritually, and evolve to your soul's authenticity. We want to shift the perception of midlife and perimenopause from negative to one of an exciting journey of opportunities. I am your host, Desiree Arnold, and today's guest for this session is Marie-Helen Conroy. Hi, Marie-Helen, welcome.
Hello, Desiree. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, I feel really honored that so many wonderful women like you are participating in this summit. So we are all excited to hear something about you first.
Certainly. I am past probably, you know, midlife I think is anywhere between 40 and 70 at this point. And I'm just really, really glad for the chapters of my life that I've had so far. I started out as a public librarian and was able to do that for about 20 years of my life. I moved, I couldn't find a job doing that. So it allowed me to go into adult education and to work with women and men that were getting their degrees at a later age. 25 to 55. And so I know the passion of having a dream in front of you and trying to be a helper for that. And then I worked for a publication called Women in Higher Education. I believe in women's work and women's words, and they need to know what they can do. And I did that for about 20 years. And due to a retirement, that publication was closed down. And Desiree, we locked the door, and I can still see myself turning the key in the lock, stepping off that stoop and going, I am 62, what do I do now? Those midlife questions we have all the time is like, has our life been worth it? What do we still need to do? Is there still something in my heart that needs to be put in the world? And I think those are timeless, whether you're 40 or whether you're 60 or 70, those questions of midlife pop up for us. And that's how I started this journey, that I've now become a life coach, a reinvention coach for your life. I run what I call dream camps because people need to be able to dream again at midlife. And so that's why I'm really pleased to be a part of your midlife summit. I think it's wonderful for people to hear the different voices of what that means.
Yes, because there are so many different facets, and it's way more than what we think of just getting older and stopping our period or so on. I even heard women who went forcefully into menopause very young, they still have that shift of consciousness and thoughts, and where their whole paradigm does change.
Right.
In this lifespan, just like it does change earlier. So thank you. This was a really lovely introduction. Let's come now to what you have prepared for us. I hear you are also a storyteller, and you have prepared a story for us.
I do, and I hope your listeners will enjoy the story. I welcome them into it, and I can't wait. You know, I'm sure there'll be discussions about our different pieces. But my story begins with a little five-year-old girl. And this five-year-old girl, her mom's walked in the room with this beautiful dress for her to wear to a family dinner. And the little girl looks at her mother and throws a tantrum. I am not wearing that dress. And she just throws herself on the floor, and she's in full tantrum mode. I'm sure we've all seen that. Everybody's seen a five-year-old just go crazy, crazy, crazy. And, you know, and that happens, and she got on the dress, and life goes on. But now the little girl, Desiree, is 10 years old. And the mom walks into the room again with another dress from Aunt Sally to wear. And the girl again throws the tantrum. But as her mother closes the door, the little girl says to herself, but I really love Aunt Sally. I'll put on the dress for Aunt Sally. And by the time the little girl is 16, she'll get in the car with the drunk driver. She can no longer say no to those people that ask her to do things. And for a lot of women, that's what happens. We lose our power to say no. And in midlife, whenever that hits, you know, whether it's 40, 50, 60, I think we're given another opportunity to decide whether we're going to continue our life as it is, saying yes to all those people in our lives or in our work or wherever it is, or we can choose to take the second path and do it our way for a change, to stand up and say, I really need to do this. It's about me this time. And to become what I call the CEO of your life, that it really is your life. And you don't have to keep saying yes, yes, yes to those people that want you to do a certain job or live a certain way or whatever, that you get to choose that those dreams you had as a five-year-old little girl could still come true. And so I think that's the midlife quest, is to choose to make it different, that we're given that opportunity again to jump off a cliff and say, you know, maybe this is. And that's how I felt stepping off that stoop that day, Desiree. I had stepped off one stoop when I was 40, but I stepped off a second stoop at 62, and I was given the opportunity to create my life. And I literally sat in a bathrobe for 3 months after closing up the business and said, what do I do? What do I do with my life? Not anybody else's, my life. And I came up with the quote from Helen Keller, and that quote is, life's a daring adventure. And I would sit there going, life's a daring adventure, life's a daring adventure. Do I believe that? Do I think that life is still, at my age, a daring adventure? And that's what I ask your midlife people watching. Is your life a daring adventure? And most people say, you're crazy. Life isn't a daring adventure. It's getting up and, you know, cleaning the house and trying to make a living. But your life can still be a daring adventure. And I added to that quote, and I'm not done yet. Life's a daring adventure, and I'm not done yet. If I'm not dead, I'm not done. And so that's what I think the midlife question is for folks, and from my mind, is what is the daring adventure of your life going to be so that you can be happy? Does that story resonate at all? Does it?
Oh, yes, it resonates at all. You know, like, we kind of lose being the CEO. In our life, as you say, with the no, we unlearn to say no, and actually it feels rewarding to fulfill as many yeses as you could, and everybody is happy with what you do with them. But at some point in life, like I've noticed, it's not fulfilling anymore to accommodate everybody. And you realize it's not an adventure anymore. Everything gone in autopilot.
Well, we all think, you know, it all becomes sort of a script. And again, it depends on the culture you're in and et cetera. But we do have scripts. At least when we're little, we think there's a script. You go to school, you're good. You take care of your family, you do whatever, and it's all scripted, and it's not. There is mystery there. Your life is a mystery. There are still places and times when you can go, wow, that's new for me. I've never thought of that. Or somebody will give you an idea, and you go, wow, you're doing this. You're running a summit for other women in midlife so that they know they're not alone and they're not done. Those are the key things to what midlife is. We're not done and we're not alone. There are millions of women out there that feel just like you do and just like I do, that we have to take our lives back and say, wow, I need to be Mary Helen. That's the only thing I can be, is Mary Helen. I can't be whatever you think I should be. And maybe I can have pieces of that, but I need to go to bed at night going, wow, okay, my life is good. I've done something today that was a little piece of me. And I don't expect people to bungee jump with life's a daring adventure or walk off a cliff somewhere. But the life's a little daring adventure is sometimes dance while you're making dinner. Just dance in the kitchen and be your creative self, or paint a picture for the first time in 20 years, or go on a walk all by yourself and look up at the beautiful sky and go, wow. We forget that our daring adventures don't have to be huge, but they have to be ours. We have to create the beauty and the daring for us, because a 10-minute walk looking at the blue sky can make a whole difference in my day, a whole day. I saw the cranes. We have sandhill cranes, those beautiful birds out here, and they were landing in the marsh. And to see that majesty, it's like, wow, open my eyes and go, wow, I am so blessed to have that nature to look at. Because then my other parts of my life can be like that too. That's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. Make sense?
Oh, that does make a lot of sense, because yeah, all the things you said just now, and our, you are also helping women to rebirth a new career or reinvent themselves. Yes.
I am. the one thing that I kind of do, I have sort of a process for people, and maybe some of your people watching might think of this as well. I do what I call the three R's. When we were in school, we learned about reading, writing, and arithmetic. But as in midlife, what we need to do is review, retreat, and reinvent. Those are my new three R's. And when we review, and you can do this with a big piece of paper, you can do it mentally, whatever works for you. You can draw pictures. But I sat down and I re-looked at what I had done in my life. So my librarianship, I've raised two wonderful sons by myself. I've had a wonderful career, but I looked at all the pieces because I didn't know what made me me, if that makes sense at all. But I needed to look back at what I had done and pull out what I call threads, like I was making a quilt or knitting something. And I wanted to pull out those threads that said, this is what I really like doing. And my threads, Desiree, and everybody's threads are different. My threads were, I love information. I being a librarian, you'd come into the library and give me a question and I could spend time finding the answer. I love that. I love having a puzzle. I love doing puzzles but that's the piece. I love information. And so the whole internet, doing Zoom, this is my first Zoom one. I've done others, but this is my first Zoom. But learning something new is important to me. The other thing I learned was I love working with women in a safe learning environment. And if I could share a poem with you, do you mind if I share a poem with you?
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Okay.
One of my favorite books was called Circle of Stones. And this is what her thing is. How might your life have been different if there had been a place for you, a place for women, a place where other women, maybe somewhat older, had reached out to help you get rooted in the earth of the ancient feminine, a place where there was a deep understanding of the ways of women to nurture you in every season of your life, a place of women to help you measure your own stature and to help you prepare and to know when you're ready. A place where after the fires were lit and the drumming and the silence, you could finally claim, finally in your naming as you spoke slowly into the silence, that the time had come full circle for you to reach out to younger women and older women and be part of the circle of life. That's what I love doing. I love putting the circle of women together so that they can talk to each other and say, we've all got this beauty, we've all got strength, but we've got pain and we've got tears and we've got hurt. And how can we all work together to make that better? And so that's what I try to do in that nature of review. And the retreat is to sit back. We never stop. Desiree, you know, we don't stop. We've got a list of things to do that is longer than the world. And to just stop, and I use a candle to represent that. To light the candle and take 10 minutes just to say, your life is good. Your life is good. What have you learned about your life? And then I hope people will remember that they're a butterfly, because we're all just, we're just like the caterpillars growing up to be a butterfly. And in that butterfly, we reinvent ourselves. We listen to the other women in our lives. We listen to our heart. And we're given pieces that can create a whole new life for us. Life is not meant to be dull and boring and ugly and tedious. It isn't. It's hard. Life is hard, but it doesn't have to not be beautiful. And it's the way that women can create that beauty, even in the hardest times, when you are crying at the death of a loved one, whether it's a spouse or a divorce or whatever it might be, that there's somebody to hold your hand and say, it's okay. It's okay. That's what I hope we can create, especially with things like you're doing with the Midlife Summit, that women around the world can say, we're all the same. We're all the same. We all need help and we all need somebody to hold our hand. And so by using the review and the retreat and the reinvent, I hope that gives women a way to come in their circle of stones together and find out who they are. More story times.
because, you know, it's really an incredible loneliness many women feel when for some the struggle starts in their end 30s. But I have seen now so many women when they have reached like their past mid 40s, but it also happens before, that there is this incredible loneliness, because you look around, you might even look at Facebook, the movies, when you go and see your friends, they say, oh, I have no time, and then, yeah, come today, and then you look all good and nice and so on, and you feel everybody is on top of their game, and everybody looks happy, and I'm the only one who has this migraine, who has this back pain, whose marriage is falling apart, whose children don't get out the house and are disrespectful, who lose their temper, who are unhappy with their job and think I have to go on another 20 years before retirement. I really, life is a mess and I don't like it, the loneliness. And
right.
Then you see other women who have reinvented themselves, who had to step out the office and lock the door and the same thing. What am I going to do now? And it would be, this is why I created the summit. It's so much better when you know you're not alone. You see ways other women have solved their struggles, how they have fought or found peace with their struggles and transformed their lives into a more fulfilling life. Yeah. Yes. The loneliness. You know, when I had to get to know, chat with you, you said something, because I spoke to you about the loneliness, right? And you said you decided you will drink how many cups of coffee every week? You will drink 50 cups of coffee every week. You will drink a cup of coffee with a stranger. And that is the other thing. We are kind of in our paradigm where we know the others, but they, most of them, maybe a close friend will tell you, yeah, I suffer the main thing. But how we have defined us was to be strong for everybody else right through. And how can you now show weakness to your friend?
Right.
And
We're all so much more alike than we are different. And thanks for bringing that up, because that was the way that I could move ahead for my own, for not knowing what to do with the rest of my life. I didn't know anybody in the town that I was in. Our work was more national than it was local. And so in wanting to create something new, that's when I created my challenge to myself of the 50 cups of coffee. And I said, Mary Helen, I want you to meet new people. You have to try to move out of yourself and meet other people. And so I did that. I met people at the grocery store, and we'd be back and forth chatting along, and I'd say to them, do you have time for a cup of coffee? And we go next door, or some grocery stores don't have coffee. And people said to me, are you looking for a job? And I said, no, I want to hear what their story is, because every woman's story has bravery in it. I've never met a woman that isn't brave. And that's what I wanted to meet. I wanted to just hear how they coped, where their joy is from, because people get joy from so many different things. But I mean, my 40th year was, my husband was a clinical depressive. He would sit in the kitchen doing dishes, not talk to my sons and I. They were only 5 and 7, and I thought, I can't raise them like this. My faith tradition said you can't divorce him. However, I knew it was not good. I knew I couldn't bring the boys up in this. So I did leave him, and my mother died 3 months later. I lost the two most important people in my life. I felt that pain of loneliness. I had no idea. I had no home to go to for Christmas that year, because there was no home. It was hard. How did I get through that? That review, reinvent, and retreat thing. I read lots of books. I met people. I would take $3 every month, and go somewhere I had never been in the city. Because the more we can get out of what we normally do, we see that there might be hope to live like that again. Now I'm down the road 20 years, and my sons are wonderful. And I'm so grateful that I made that decision, because I don't know what they would have been like if I had stayed there. I don't know what they would have been. I can look back now and go, good job. But I remember the tears, going to bed with the tears. I remember being so alone. Right now, there's approximately 1/3 of us that feel lonely in a world of 8 billion people.
Yeah.
That's wrong. So I'm hoping people will turn these things on that you're creating and go, wow, I'm not alone and I'm not done, because we have so many, between abusive relationships and like you said, with kids not leaving and kids leaving and everything that they can do, it's just the world's a crazy place. But you're not alone. Find somebody, even if it's the grocery store lady, and just smile and say hello. And that's why our smiles are so important. We don't know what that effect is. Look at that smile coming out from you. But we don't know, if you smile at me, that maybe when I walk out the door, I'll go, wow, that will keep me bright for the day. Because you might be the only person that day to smile at me. Because that's how some people's lives are. But yeah. Yeah, when I look back at my 40s and realize I went back to school, I read lots of books, I met different people, I walked different paths, I put one foot in front of the other, every day I got up and said, I can make one more day. Let's do this. And so when I was at that point in 60 doing the same thing, I knew I could do that. You know, if we look back, we know that we can go through hard points. We've gotten through hard points before, and we can do it. But we need to be able to reach out to somebody and say hi, because we can't do it alone either. Yeah, it's a tribe. I mean, my sisters were there. I met new friends. It's a tribe that raises any family, that raises any of us. I wouldn't be who I am without my tribe. We need to have that. And so you're part of my tribe now, Desiree. So
yeah, that feels wonderful. You know, as you say, this with the tribe and you alone don't get nowhere. It's kind of sad. I see very much the trend that people say, I am standing my own woman. I can do everything by myself. The fact is, yeah, if you look from it, like as just, okay, I can get my water myself, I can get to work myself, but we can never do anything on our own because you might use a public transport or your own car. How many people have been involved in producing that? How many people have worked for you to get clean water out of your tap? How many people have planted or recycled material for you to wear clothes? How many people work on you on a monthly basis to look decent? How many people have worked on the house you are living in? How many people are making sure things are functioning around you? And we even have to apply that to our relationships, because if you know, one lady said it's so nice, just show up. You know, and like you said, I just show up. And if we show up for ourselves and retreat,
right,
and show up for someone else to support, I really find your work wonderful. Especially, you know, we can clearly see how much you have struggled too, and has formed your later path. And we are incredibly strong.
Yeah.
I think if you were 20 and you said, hey, when you're 40, you're gonna leave your husband, your mother is dying, and you're gonna be alone.
Right.
And you will see, hey, nah, I can't handle that. That is too close. That no way.
It's a blessing not knowing.
Yes, it's a blessing. But then we realize we can put one foot in front of the other. You know what is so strange? I have met now so many women within the summit, but also elsewhere, where their lives have imploded on them, you know, like either their health went helter skelter, their relationship, the job, or they got injured, or some other disaster, stroke, where their resilience and their ego was really tested in how much it could support survival. And then was this survival pattern, and then comes this
other thing.
Surviving became easy. I can live again. You understand? Hey, I am amazing. I'm so strong. I did this. I can calm down explosive situations. I can listen to my friends. Oh my God, I can understand someone who I have never understood before. And most importantly, I can express myself that I'm heard. You know, that these things come. But one part why I did this summit was that you don't have to reinvent the wheel, everybody themselves, that you know where to look, even if you don't want to reach out for a professional to help you, coaching you through it, but that, you know, hey, that exists. I could buy a book and learn something about it, or I could sit down and review the situation myself and then take it from there, because I have seen it was, I doubt even for those who say, ah, it was easy, I never had no problem. When you dig deeper, you realize, you know, sometimes I just wanted to die. And right. The only thing that kept me alive was because I had children. And I didn't have the heart to go. Otherwise, I would have left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all meet a day in between, but sometimes after half an hour or an hour, it goes away again when you can look out and see that you're not the only one.
Right. And that's why being able to turn on your things, they're going to be so wonderful. When you mentioned that wonderful list of the tribe in our life that we kind of take for granted, the people that have brought us the water and the food and our clothes, that was one of the gifts that I was given during my first time with that, was that whole gift of gratitude. And I remember, you know, and I know many people have said, write down your top five gratitude things every day. And I did do that. I would do five things and I could never do the same one. That was my promise to myself. So after you get through, I'm grateful for, you know, life and all that. But I did say, I'm grateful that the light in the refrigerator turns on. I'm so grateful my car works when I turn the key so that I can get to work. I am so grateful for the person that harvested this food that was in the store for me, because it's that gratitude, that deep down gratitude that you realize you're just a piece of it. And I learned through that life is perfect. I don't always believe it, but life is perfect. When I look back at what I was like when I was 20 and 40 and now, there are days that I wish never existed. Never existed. And I learned this early. My dad died when I was 2. My mother ended up being a single mother at 29 years of age with 3 girls. My younger sister wasn't even born yet when he died. And so I never grew up with a father, and that hurt. You know, every time somebody would say, well, have your parents come or whatever, I didn't have that. I didn't have parents. And during the 50s, when I grew up, that was very weird. Now it's kind of norm, but then it was weird. And in that 40s transition time, in that midlife part, when I was looking at my life again, I looked back at that whole father thing. And you know what, Desiree? It was perfect. If I had grown up with a father, I probably would have been one of 6, because that's what all my other, I was Catholic, and there would have been 6 of us, all right? So I would have been one of many, many children. I also might not have gone to school. My mother made sure all of us got degrees. As a single mom, that was her goal. She wanted us to have that. I have over 100 cousins, and out of the 100 cousins, it's the 3 of us that have degrees. If I had had a father, I might not have done that.
Yeah.
If I had had a father, maybe I wouldn't have done XYZ. It was perfect that I didn't have a father. I had to come to that in my head. Every single day is perfect. Would I trade some of those days? The day that I sat with my mother and she died and holding my hand, would I trade that day? Absolutely. But it was perfect. I, at 62, don't have to worry about what's going to happen to her now that she'd be 90-something. I've already been there. I don't have to watch that. I don't have to watch her be 92 and die now. I've had that already. Life is perfect, but sometimes we just don't get it. But every single day leads us to today, this moment, speaking with you. Why in the world are we speaking together? Why do we know each other except that there was a computer program called LinkedIn and you asked if I'd like to do this? Life is perfect. We get up in the morning and we have no idea what might be it. But that's what I've come to know in that, is to be grateful and to realize that whatever the good or the bad today is only getting me to be more perfect for tomorrow. That today I need to learn something. So tomorrow, even if it's, you know, if we get bad news or good news, realize it's okay. It's just a moment in our life. Just a moment. And the next moment has a choice in it. There's a choice of what you want to do with it. Do you want to sit and sob? Sob if you need to. I've taken those moments. And then the other moments of joy. So Those are sort of the things that I've learned, is the gratitude leads you to realize that, okay, life might be tough, but it's perfect. Life is perfect. So that's my other
Well, I hope I will look back too. I have really a lot of days I wish did never happen.
But no,
as
I
you
know.
Say, when I look at it, it has
you.
Shaped me. But then I'm wondering, couldn't I have been shaped like this without that horrible lesson? You know, did it really have to be that harsh? Yes.
I know. But, see,
but the fact is, then I say, why do you fret about it? You survived. You have grown from it. It didn't break you to your knees. You thought it will ebb several times in your life. You thought, that's it. This has broken me to my knees. I'm just gonna be a leaf in the wind now. I'm not riding any more waves in the sea. And you understand, that is it. But no. So when you look back, well, okay, but you know, had the whole Himalaya had to come down on me or something?
I totally agree, because there's but see, that's what happens when you're in the middle of it too. It's like, just stop, it's over, I'm done. But it's only when you can start getting peace with that, and I think that's one of the midlife challenges, is how do we make sense out of all that yuck in our past?
Yeah.
How do we make sense out of that? Because it was so awful. And so that, because you can't deny it happened, you know, you can't deny whether if somebody was abusive to you, or if you divorced, or the kids were sick, or people died in your life. How do you make sense of that? And so that is what we try to do in midlife, is try to make some sense so we can keep going. Otherwise, we'd all be loomy. We'd all just be nuts.
as you say, this making sense, I kind of, what helped me was not making sense of what happened, but of what I learned from it.
Absolutely.
Maybe
the lessons.
I was too stubborn to learn. That is why the lesson had to be so nasty and so right up in my face that I am getting it. You know, it's like when you tell someone no, and they continue. You say no, and they continue, and then you say no, and then you say, like, why did you yell at me? Because you're not listening. So maybe I don't know. It's
we need to
no,
listen
that,
ourselves.
That was what helped me then. What have I learned from it? And it made me then feel better instead of thinking of what has happened to me. But how it would help me grow, shape myself, how it would give me the strength to shape my way, myself in a way I want to be. How you say this, CEO, you see how I learned there just now something? It's not how it shaped me, how it gave me the strength to shape me into the person I want to be.
That's right.
This just now. Marie Helen, you see,
you
coached me just now into something. Fantastic. Yes. This is but the best sentence I said for the whole year, I think.
No, and I'm glad it's on tape so that you'll be able to get it back.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
It's
if we can look at life like that, as what are the events that will help us to be shaped into who we should be. That's quite a dance, isn't it? It's the dance of the good, the bad, the ugly, that what steps are we learning? I loved your learning part, because I think that is what it's all about. It's all about, what have I learned today? What is it that I'm here to do and learn? And I love that. Thank you.
This is really an enlightening there, an enlightening factor there. I wanted to talk about something else. You know, we when we reach a point, like some people, some women, they like lose a job and have to redefine themselves, but some women, they are just like fed up of how it is and walk out of it themselves and want to reinvent themselves. Now, we often find they have not really found yet what they want to do. They just like dive in, I leave this behind. I want to do something new. Some might have a vision. The women you work with, which grouping do they fit? That they lost the work, or do you have all of them?
I think it's all of them. And I think, because it doesn't matter how you lost your work, but when you lose work, whether it's because you quit or whether you were fired, or in many of the people I know can see at times too with retirement, when we leave work, we leave a little piece of our ego. I know when I walked off that stoop that day again, I didn't have work. I didn't have a business card. I didn't have a title. I didn't have a place to go during the day. I didn't have people that I was used to talking with. And all of that is gone. And we need to start over again. And I went back to, again, that little five-year-old girl. That story I told at the beginning.
Yeah, I love that story.
I love, well, it is. I love that story because what career people are telling us now is that the five-year-old girl has some of the answers for us about what our career is or what our life journey might be or what to do in midlife is in that five-year-old girl. So if I asked you what you wanted to be when you were five, do you have any clue what that was when you were five?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I wanted to be a Wild West Indian like Winnetou. I don't know whether you know Winnetou and Old Shatterhand. Yes, and I wanted to have a black horse and live in a tent and hunt bisons. Of course, I wanted to be a man too.
Okay, but now just now play with me. So, I'm now going to say to you, why did you want to be that?
I loved the adventure, the nature. I thought of wanting to be a man because men have lived more, had more freedom, more rights. I come from a country where when I was born, women didn't have the right to vote. They didn't have the right to have their own bank account. And they were pretty much the property of their husband. Now, I'm not talking of no Arabic country or so. It's actually a very recognized and highly viewed country. And I just saw the women were bickering at one another. They were always unhappy. And the men were so much more fun to be around with. They could make things with their hands. They could use tools. They were the ones driving the cars around. And the women who did this, they did it different. You know, they did it like a burden. And to me, it was like, if I grow up to be a woman, I'm going to be like, this is like too much burden. I want to have fun like a man. And I loved nature. I still love nature. I live.
That's where the key to that is. You're a little five-year-old girl, and it's not about what you wanted to be. So the Wild West Indian, that's not what you're going to be. But the whys, yeah. Those whys that you just gave me about nature, wanting to have the power that a man has in your own life, because that's really what you were talking about, that you wanted to be able to set your own goals and have fun. Those whys are what you need in midlife for a career. I think that's what you're doing right. Oh, an adventure. That was your other one, adventure. Those are your five whys. That's why you're doing what you're doing. You've got the power of a microphone that many women don't have. You can have fun with it. It's an adventure. You love nature. You live around nature. So as long as we have the whys, as we get older, we're happy. Our heart's happy. It's that five-year-old's whys. If we can keep that five-year-old happy so she doesn't throw a tantrum, then we can live as midlife adults, midlife women, because that's what we need to feed our souls. So you've got lots of those pieces in there. And even though there might be some that are lacking, I'm sure your bank account, whatever it might be, those things. But if you've got the whys of your five-year-old in your heart, you can be happy doing what you're doing. And that's what I invite women who lose their jobs from whatever reason to relook at that. What gets really scary are those women, and there's women right now listening to us that go, I don't know what I wanted to be when I was five. And the reason is that nobody asked them. Nobody asked the little five-year-old girl what they wanted to be when they grew up. We need to ask each other that. We need to ask little five-year-old girls what they want to be so that their dreams can keep going. But we need to ask the 20-year-old, what do you dream? We need to ask the 40-year-old, what do you dream? Because nobody asks a woman to what they dream about after the age of about 10. But we've all got dreams, but nobody asks us. And so that's the kind of thing, you know, women getting together again and just having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee together and saying, what do you dream about, Desiree? What do you dream about? And tell me your dream so that, like that circle of stones, maybe I can help you to get there. Or maybe, again, I can hold your hand as you get there. Or maybe I could just say a prayer that you get there. But the more we can ask women what they dream about, they're being heard and they're being seen, and then they can make a difference in their world and our world. So that's my little piece on that one. I love that you knew what you wanted in those whys. Your face lit up.
Yes, it was wonderful. You know, of course, someday I became a teenager, and then my face started because, oh my God, I'm going to be a woman. There are breasts growing and period is coming, and girls, boys start to watch you funny, like they like you. And I was like, hello.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And I find that funny. Really cool with the whys. Yes, with the whys. Why would you dream of that? Because then you can build up on that.
And I want to be a teacher because, again, I liked, my mother was a teacher. So, you know, it was sort of that. I liked being able to share information. I liked that people listen to you when you're a teacher. You're kind of the center of stage kind of thing. And you're wise and you're whatever. And that's what I do now. You know, I speak in front of groups. I share information. All of those whys are a big part of what I do right now. It's the whys. That's what I needed to find were what the whys were so I could figure out at 62, when I didn't have a job again, what it was that was going to make me happy. And I had to go back to my little five-year-old.
I'm really happy you didn't retire from life, you know, that you... That you were like, hey, life is a daring adventure. I just closed one chapter again. And so what's the next one I'm going to do? And you know what? I think what makes you very outstanding too is you must have read. You must be a library yourself, you know, like you must have read so many books and get insight on so many different.
You know, reading is always, I was really lucky. But you know what? I was raised by the single mom. The way that I could get my own little piece of the world was to sit in my bedroom and read. Because then I was quiet and I wasn't disturbing anything. So it was a defense mechanism. I love walking to the library. I love waiting for Nancy Drew books. It was a part of my life that I grew up with and started working in a library when I was 10. And so I was fortunate to just find that. But we all get that magic. Thank you. I love my life. And yes, I could have chosen to walk out that door, and I forget that. So thank you. That was a great remembering for me that I could have walked out, turned the key, and just stopped. I could have done that. And wow, my last 4 years have been the most amazing 4 years. I've met people, I can't even tell you how much I've met people that have touched my heart and made me think and dream and keep going. And that's why I keep saying, if you're not dead, you're not done. And you're not alone. You're just not. And we give up on ourselves. We think that at a certain age or a certain stage of life, whether it's midlife and we're no longer attractive to somebody. Wrong. you're attractive to you. You can't find a job because you're too old. Wrong. Create a job. Do something. And if you want to have your own business and you're working right now, do it on the side so that you can at night, turn off the TV, turn off the whatever, and have an hour of you doing your job in the way you want to do it. You're going to be tired. Who cares? You're going to have a whole lifetime after we're dead to sleep. But do things now that give you some little piece of joy. You get 186 hours a week. How many hours of the 186 are really for you? How many are? And
does sleep count?
Well, that's it. You take a third of them off for that.
Yeah. You
know? And then you get 8 hours for many people working. So that's 16 hours out of 24. So you only have eight. You got to eat. You've got to go to the bathroom. You've got to check your mail. You've got to do a lot. You've got to travel to your job. How many hours a week are just for you? Take one. Take one. And say, this one's mine. And what do you want to do with it? Yeah, what do you want to do with it?
You know, and then when you start doing that, you feel like, I'm going to take more, you know, like yeah. There are other unimportant stuff, but there is like, this is so important to me, I'm going to take more time for that.
Right.
We see very often how now throughout the interviews, the gratitude, mm-hmm. factor, and the one remember to dream, and the one to pay attention again and feel out what you love to do, what you love about your everyday life. And this has shown true also in your speech, how this is so important. And of course, how you said it again, you're not alone. You're not alone, and you're not done yet. And right. You're ready for a next adventure. Oh, like, this was amazing. I was very curious what you would be bringing to the table. And it is really so fantastic. Also, your story and your own life journey. And I'm really happy you told me about my 5-year-old girl.
Yeah, your 5-year-old little girl. Yep. That's
my dream. So I know already clearer again where my next few steps will go.
And that's it. I think, and I really thank you for doing this for women in midlife, that they, that whole, you're not done and you're not dead and you're not alone. Thank you. Thank you for sitting where you're sitting right now and taking the time to share all of this with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're most welcome, Marie Helen. Without you and all the other extraordinary, amazing women, I never dreamt I would find, you know, that there was a journey to the summit. Mm-hmm. That it took on this shape how it is now. It was supposed to be originally a way different summit until I realized I don't want to make that type of summit. I want to bring a tribe of the same women together talking about the same thing, but bring a rainbow, a fruit basket, a flower field of women together who can speak about the many different facets to transform this life passage. And I'm so amazed still how much is out there. You don't know how much creating this summit has improved my life.
Good, good. I can't wait to see it.
And I cannot wait for, I really hope that younger women also will tune in their 40s, because mm-hmm. they had, some of them say, midlife, that is like menopause, I ain't reached there yet. And then when I speak to them a while, they say, oh yeah, this has started with me. Mm-hmm. Not the period, irregular period or moodiness, but the struggle with life. Why do I have to learn these lessons? And so to say like, oh yeah, all this is part of midlife. And I say, yeah, I'm going to be there. So I really hope that a lot of viewers are tuning in now and also the other interviews too. Now, you will have a link below the video to get straight to Mary Helen's website. Do you have a freebie there or anything?
I do. I have an ebook, which is called Live Your Dream. And for any of your viewers that click on that, I will send them the electronic book that they can read right off their computer. And yes, absolutely. There's lots of stuff on there and love to see them visit us. And please in the comments, when you put down your email address, let me know that it's from here. And that would be great. In fact, I might prepare a separate link for you, Desiree, so that we'll know exactly who came from the summit.
And okay, wonderful.
Yes, I will do that for you. Yes, and I hope you're, please, the comments and continuing the conversations would just be wonderful. So thank you very much.
This was wonderful. Okay, thank you, Mary Helen Conroy, and thank you to all our viewers who have tuned in to this session. It has been an amazing session for me. I see I got a lot of aha points. Even though I learned a lot already throughout this past year. So thank you for being here. I hope you tune in many other sessions of this summit too. Now, if you are too busy and you cannot watch all the videos because we are 22 speakers, we have 22 interviews, and you mightn't have time to watch every day 1 or 2 hours interviews, you can click below on the empowerment package where you get the whole summit package. You get all the videos, all the transcripts to the videos and audio versions. So you can go on this and get it at a very competitive price. The benefit, you can re-listen to it. You can listen to it at your time of convenience and you can share it with a friend. We would really appreciate it because the summit is there for us to wake up, to share the love, to be here for one another, and to be here for oneself. So bye. See you soon again. Bye.